Amos. Chapter 4. Verse number 12. Therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Prepare to meet thy God. Now come to the New Testament, please, and we're going to read in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy in chapter number 4. Verse number 6, the Apostle Paul speaking, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Now, over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse number 13. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not." You notice these words, "even as others which have no hope." For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Now finally, just back a page or two to Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. Verse 21, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labour. Yet what I shall choose I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart, and to be with Christ, which is far better." And we know that God will bless his precious word along with what we have already been listening to. Now as we come to the word of God this evening, there's one thought that is upon my mind above all else, and it is the importance of being ready. I'm sure before you came to the meeting, you maybe said to someone in the house, "It's time to get ready." I want to tell you tonight, as far as salvation is concerned, if you're not saved, it's time to get ready. And we read in Amos chapter 4 these words from the prophet, and it's the word of God, and it tells us to prepare to meet thy God. Prepare to meet thy God. Those words are so simple, yet so solemn, and there is so much within them. And yet, I throw them out tonight to you and ask you, have you made preparation to meet God? Whether you believe in God or not does not change the fact of his existence. My friend, tonight, the devil would be very happy if we had our back turned to the future and only argued over the existence of God. That would be all right. But what he doesn't want us to turn round and do is to realize this, that as there is a God at the beginning, there is a God at the end. One God. And we must prepare to meet him. And he is the judge and has appointed a day in which he will judge this world through that man which he has ordained and that man which he has set forth and by which he has given assurance. He has guaranteed it. And how is it that he guarantees it? He has given assurance to all men in that he has raised them from the dead. You see, the resurrection of Jesus Christ guarantees that every one of us will stand before God. It's not that we need to defend the existence of God. No. What we need to defend, dear brother, dear sister, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because it is the truth of resurrection that guarantees that we stand before God. And if Christ be not risen, our preaching is in vain, and our faith is in vain. And therefore, this message that we preach every night, it stands four square upon this truth that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen. Thank God he was seen. Why was he seen? Because he was alive. And therefore, there's one day coming when we're going to see him and we'll see him as he is. And so I want to draw your attention to a man who was ready. And this man, the Apostle Paul, that we love, I want you to see how he was ready in three ways. And first of all, I want you to notice a man, and he is ready to move out. He says, the time of my departure is at hand. And he said, I am ready. I am ready. What lovely words as he nears the end of his life, as we know, written from a prison cell. But he says, I am now ready to be offered because the time of my departure is at hand. He was a man who was ready to move out into eternity. But then from 1 Thessalonians 4, I want us to realize that here was a man who also, he was ready to move up. He believed and taught and wrote about the great truth of the rapture and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ the second time. And he put himself amongst those who were ready. Oh, he could say, then we which are alive and remain will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. We're going to see that he was a man who was ready to move out, but he was a man in his lifetime who expected the Lord to come. And he was ready to move up. But I want to tell you from Philippians chapter 1, it thrills my soul that here was a man, and I see he was ready to move in. Oh, you know, he had a longing in his soul to be with Christ. And he says, I have a desire. And he says, I have to stay here, but really deep down, he says, I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ. And he says, it's very far better. And you see, the reason that he had a desire to be with Christ is because he says, for to me to live is Christ. Christ was the whole object of his life and his living. Christ was the object of his gospel. Christ was the object of his prayer life. Christ was the object of his affections. His whole person was consumed with Christ. What's your life about? You say that? People in England today, and they would say, for to me to live is Liverpool, or for me to live is Man United, for me to live is the lottery. I wonder, can you say tonight to the apostle, for to me to live is Christ? And therefore, he says, to die is gain. He says, I can't lose out, because I'm going to be with him. But I want you to think, first of all, with me, that here is a man, and he's ready to move out. And the picture that he paints is this, that he's moving out into eternity. And he's leaving the great sea of life. Because if you examine the text, the idea is that the rope was just about to be loosed. you know that rope that ties a boat up at the harbour? He says, that rope is just about, it's about to be loosed, and I'm about to set sail out into the great eternity. He says, I'm ready. Are you? I tell you tonight, it's good to be ready. I'm thankful that I can put my head on the pillow tonight. And yes, there may be worries. We all have worries and we have difficulties, but there's one thing that I have no worry about. Thank God, I'm not worried about eternity. I'm ready to move out. I don't be thinking any of us want to die. I have a wife and children at home, as you know. I want to see them again. No, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're looking for the Lord to come. Nobody's looking forward to dying, because we've been reminded that death is a reminder of the curse, is a result of the curse. But my friend, should it be, and it will come if the Lord doesn't come, my time, like the apostle, will come, and there will be a moment. For him, he's writing from the Mamertine prison in Rome. It was really a dungeon, and it was a holding cell for martyrs who were going to be taken out and to be killed. And in a few hours, his head would be put on the block, and a Roman sword would come down and sever his head from the body. And in a moment of time, before anybody could touch his body, Apostle Paul is out into eternity. Oh, he knew where he was going. Why? Because he said, I am ready. Are you ready? Remember, it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment, the world wants to take death by the scruff of the neck and wants to take control of it. And they want to think and convince themselves that that is the way out of suffering. My friend, it's only the entrance into terrible suffering if you're not seeing. Therefore, you need to be ready. Of course, his whole life was an offering poured out. He could say, I have fought a good fight. It wasn't the fight of politics. It wasn't the fight of world wars. No, the fight of the Apostle Paul was the great fight of one who fought for Christ, not physically, but in the gospel. You see, tonight in this meeting, there's a battle. And if you're not saved, you don't really realize it. That the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not. And he just wants to lure you down this broad road and just to get you over the line into eternal fire and torment. And he's had another success. My friend, that's why we're preaching the gospel. That you might stop and you might realize and ask yourself the question, have I made preparation to meet God? When did you make preparation? You know, we're here to help you. We're not trying to put you on the spot. We love you with all our hearts, but there's a God in heaven who loves you infinitely more, and he wants you to make preparation. That's one of the reasons that you're in this world, is that you might make preparation for the next world, that you might be saved. Boys and girls, it's good to be saved when you're young, because the older you get and the longer you leave it, the more that sin gets a grip off you. And it's harder to break free. You know, you couldn't do it now, but when I was growing up in Sunday school, sometimes in a children's meeting, to illustrate the power of sin, you know, the man would come along and he would get a volunteer from the audience and he would take out a little spool of thread and he would say to the children, do you think if I wrap this round this little boy's hands together, he could break it? And of course they all said yes. And the little boy, he wrapped the thread, just a little fine thread, round his hands. And you know, the little boy, he broke it, no problem. And then he did it another three or four times again. And a bit harder, but he was able to break it. You know, he wrapped that thread round 20 times. The little boy couldn't break the thread. See, that was the lesson. That was just like sin. Just getting its grip on people. Oh, my friend, today there's people in the grip of sin in Oxfordshire, and they're finding it mighty hard to break free because sin has such a grip on them, on their body, and they can hardly have the power to think about the gospel because sin has left such a mark upon them. And I know there are those in the meeting, and you know what it's like to have the grip of substances or alcohol. But let me tell you, there's people in there in the grip of pride. That's a terrible thing, to get a grip on somebody. That I'm just better than the rest. I know far more. Do you? Listen, you don't know more than God. Because we have an all-wise God. Immortal, invisible, omnipotent, omniscient, who knows all things. And it's only when you humble yourself and acknowledge that he is the potter and that you're the clay that you'll listen to his word. Because you'll never be saved until you depend upon God's word. And here was a man, you say, how did he know he was ready? Oh, I'll read you a verse that tells me. It's a beautiful verse, 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Here's what he says. Be not thou therefore ashamed. For he says, I am not ashamed. Verse number 12. I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is yet to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. What's the picture? The picture is that Paul has deposited and has left and relied upon Christ. And he says, I know whom I have believed. Do you know? Now notice what he said. He didn't say, I know what I have believed. Oh, he did know that. But that's not what he was depending on for eternity. He's depending on a person. And I tell you, when it comes to the end, I'm thankful this evening that I'm not depending on theories. I'm not depending on the knowledge. I'm not depending on the AI, artificial intelligence. That will not do you when it comes to eternity. You need to know. Boys and girls, do you know? Is there a time when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? It happened to have Paul on the Damascus Road. He would never forget it. I tell you, what a change in a moment of time when a person realizes, I'm not ready. When he kicked against the pricks, maybe coming tonight, and you're kicking against him. And you're like I was as a young man in the meeting, brought up in a Christian home, and I was longing to get out into the world. And you know, that's just what I did. But you know what I discovered? This world is just empty. But like Moses, you're going to have to make a choice. Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin, which are just but for a season. And I want to tell you, the 33 years that I've been saved, there's no people like the people of God. Oh, full of failure like myself. I tell you, I wouldn't change places with you for all the money in the national lottery. For all the pleasures that this world can give, there's nothing like the pleasures that are found in Christ. And the Bible tells us we'll be at his right hand, not for a season, but forevermore. So here's a man, and he's ready to move out. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we learn that he's ready to move up. And you see, I discover in this truth of the Lord's second return that there's a division that has been made. And we read of those that have no hope. Oh, he says, sorrow not as others that have no hope. And what he's saying is this, that those that have fallen asleep, he said, that's a lovely picture, isn't it, of death. That's what he's describing. He's describing death as falling asleep. Now, the reason that he tells us that death for the believer is like those who have fallen asleep, it's because they're going to wake up again. See, death is not the end. The world like to think that, but it's not. Though the Bible tells us that though there is the separation of the soul and the body, that one day those dead in Christ, they're going to be raised. Resurrection. Resurrection is always with regard to the body. We don't talk about a bodily resurrection. It can't be anything else. If it's resurrection, it's the body. And Paul says, listen, though they have slept, though they are asleep, those who are seeing, this God hasn't forgotten about them. And there's going to be coming a day and the Lord is going to come, and he gives us the detail of it. It's wonderful. He says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of an archangel and the trump of God. And then he says, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. That's what we call in Scripture the rapture. That's a Latin word that simply means to be caught up. You see, he's going to catch us up out of this world. And why is it that we're going to be snatched out of this world, those of us who are saved? It's because there's judgment that's going to fall upon this world. And the book of Revelation, if you read it, it will detail those judgments. And my friend today, if you're left behind when the Lord comes, you will read the Bible in a different way. You will read the Bible to discover the awful realities of what's going to take place. Those great seal judgments. Those trumpets that sound. Those vials, that's the bowls. The idea is that judgment is going to be poured out in this world. You have no idea what awaits you if you leave yourself with no hope. That's the way Scripture describes these people. Others who have no hope. I tell you, to die without Christ, have no hope. Because when the Lord returns, there'll be no further opportunity. Can I ask you tonight, tenderly, are you ready? Ready to move out? Are you ready to move up? I'm ready. I'm not looking for it the way I should. The Bible tells us that the Lord's return is imminent. That means it could happen any moment. There's nothing more to be fulfilled in Scripture before he comes. And it's the Lord himself. You know, that thrills my soul. It's not an angel. No, it's the Lord himself. That thrills my soul because that's the one who died for me at the cross. He's coming for me. He said so himself. That's why I know he's coming. He said, I will come again. He came the first time, so why would he not come the second time? Because it's impossible for God to lie, impossible for him to break his word. And so one day, all across this world, graves will be opened. John tells us that the sea will give up its dead. There'll be no barriers to resurrection. The dead in Christ will rise. In other words, soul and body reunited. A changed body? Well, not these bodies of humiliation, these bodies that cause us so much trouble and so much pain. And do you know the interesting thing is, do you know what the world is doing today? Rather than trust Christ and live with the anticipation of a changed body and he'll do a proper job, you know what they're obsessed with is modification. And they're trying to change their body now, and they spend millions on altering their appearance and trying to stop aging. And trying to stop getting older. And they use all sorts of methods to try and hold on to this body. But they don't realize this, that the body is dying. There's only one hope, that's resurrection through Jesus Christ. So it is in a moment of time, we shall all be changed. And what a meeting it's going to be. I'm looking forward to it. Because, of course, it will be a meeting of reunion. Maybe it is that you've loved ones that have gone on before and they're saved. The Lord comes tonight to be separated forever from them. But for those of us who are saved, it's going to be a reunion at the end. You know, best of all, it's going to be the union with Christ. We're going to meet him. That's what it says. And I tell you, anybody who's living without that hope, Paul says, they're of all men most miserable. Maybe you are saved tonight. You're not living in the good of the rapture. I tell you, what we have to look forward to is his return. He's coming to the air. The very domain of Satan himself, the prince of the power of the air, is going to be filled with billions. Don't think that salvation is just for a handful of people in a little tent in a field in Bicester. I tell you tonight over the world, if you knew the myriads of those who are trusting Christ and throughout history have trusted Christ, the book of Revelation tells us that it's 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands will join in chorus at the throne to praise the Lamb who died for us. I tell you tonight, we're on the winning side. If you're ready, you'll rise. If you're not, don't be left. I tell you this evening, you need to be ready to move up. Secondly and thirdly, I want to finish on this note. Watch this man. There's a man who was ready. Was it quite the deal? I don't know. I can't speculate, but Scripture has given us little glimpses. Brother has brought me to us. We wipe away all tears. You know, heaven is a real place. That's why we're given a body. It's not floating about in clouds. Some fairy story. We're given a real body. Because eventually it's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Says Peter, we're in full of righteousness. But the biggest and the greatest thing about heaven will just be this. Paul says it will be with Christ. With him. He says it's far better. No. I don't know much, how much better, because I couldn't measure it possible. I want to tell you, none of us will be disappointed. That's an understatement. I think this. No idea what really awaits us. How much better it's going to be in this old world. If I meet people this week and say, this is heaven, some heaven. Far better. You know, if we're going anywhere now, we type into this TripAdvisor and we get a review of where we're going. And you know, you get all sorts of ideas of people that you wouldn't know who to believe. But I tell you, old bad reviews come back from heaven. No one ever has gone to heaven to be disappointed. And they know disappointments in heaven, the hymn writer says. But the thing is, will you be there? Will you be there? If you were to go out into eternity this evening, reminded we can't boast of tomorrow. Heaven's a real place. You know, I think the worst thing about hell is this. The number one, you'll never be Christ. And the word that I have thought that will lead the way at me for all eternity is that I should have been. I should have been. But I went on in my sins and refused to acknowledge him as my Savior. And I should have been ready. And I could have been ready. And I was told to get ready. I ignored the word. I ignored the gospel. My friend tonight, could I ask you to consider? Prepare to meet thy God. A man who was ready to move out. A man who was ready to move up. Praise God, he was a man who was ready to move in, absent from the body, present with the Lord, and with Christ forever to enjoy the pleasures of his right hand. Father, we bow with thanksgiving in our hearts for the great hope that we have in Christ. Thank you, O God, that while we're left.